and welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me as always is Jesse.
Hi.
And Caitlin.
Hello.
And today we are going to be talking about season 3, episode 3 of One Tree Hill, titled First Day on a Brand New Planet, which, fun fact, is a song by Jesse James. I don't know which Jesse James that is. I tried to find it out, and there are way too many bands and or people who are singers named Jesse James.
Huh.
Moving right. Yeah, we open with this, with Lucas on the roof of the cafe. And he's pulling a brick out of the wall.
Doing some diagonally shit.
Yeah, and pulling out a little tin out of the hole in the wall where the brick is. And Haley joins him and comments on the fact that Lucas took down the mini golf course. Wah wah. And turns out they're there to carry on the tradition that they've done for years of making predictions for the next school year. It's the night before first day of school. So they make new predictions and read last year's predictions to see how they came true. And
Haley stopped liking that game real quick.
Yeah,
real quick, like, she did. As soon as she said, "I'm going to date a musician."
This is oh.
Yeah, yeah. But now before we get some fun quips about, you know, how Haley in seventh grade had a prediction that she was going to kiss a boy and that Lucas was actually going to talk to Peyton Sawyer last year. Well, we know how that worked out.
Mm. Uh-huh. I like how he's like, "That can't be right," and he's like, "Oh no, that was it.
That was last year." yep. First thing you ever said to her, "That's me inside your head. It's fine." Yeah. Anyway, so they both are like, "Yeah, okay, let's just wait to do these predictions until they get through the first day of school." Great. Cut to first day of school, and Haley and Lucas find out that the lockers for the seniors are assigned alphabetically. So Nathan has a locker right smack dab between them, and Nathan is already there and says, "You should have used your stage name," and walks off. It's cold. It's cold.
All right. So we're going to continue this bullshit. Great. Super.
Yes. And also then Brooke gives Lucas a hard time that, you know, if he's the guy for her, she really thought he would have, you know, maybe picked her up for the first day and maybe brought her a bagel or breakfast or something. And Lucas said he had some stuff to take care of. Turns out Lucas pimped out all of Brooke's locker, complete with its own disco ball spinning as soon as you open the damn locker.
I forgot that that was a thing people used to do until we watched this episode. And then I remembered school.
Yes.
Specifically middle school, which was not quite the time that this episode aired, but it was a few years before, but still, like, it was a continuing trend.
Yeah, I remember still as seniors, we all decorated our lockers. I remember we all did. Even the boys did. They were like, they hung up their football stuff, all that kind of stuff. Everybody decorated their lockers as seniors. And then they would decorate the outside of our lockers with like our achievements throughout the school year.
Oh,
like mine by the end was filled with nothing but like band and choir and theater stuff and all that kind of stuff. But it was
weird
stuff, you know, so they did that and it was kind of fun and then kind of not fun because for the kids who didn't do a lot of extracurriculars, their lockers were just very bare and it was very sad.
That's kind of sad.
But yeah,
my high school, we didn't have lockers unless we asked for one.
Oh.
And so like I think I had a locker freshman year because freshmen were in a different building and they gave us lockers. But sophomore year forward, once we were on like the main campus, like you weren't like assigned a locker automatically. Like you just, like you only got one if you asked for one. And I think I had one sophomore year and I used it twice.
So were you like Haley in this episode where she was like, "I need a good chiropractor after this because I just carried my books around everywhere"?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is we didn't have to like care. Like a lot of the like classes and stuff, our textbooks were provided for us and like they were shared between all of the classes throughout the day.
Oh,
Yeah. Okay. Like, there were several classes where, like, I didn't have my own history book or whatever.
Oh, that's because, weird.
Yeah. So it was all fucking weird. So that but
makes,
anyway,
that makes sense.
I went to my locker like twice my sophomore year, and then I never had one again. So
yeah, our school was small enough where everyone got a locker, but I'm 100% sure by the end of my senior year, I had no idea where my locker was anymore because I never used it. We had block scheduling, so I only had 4 classes a day. Every day.
Yeah, we did too. Every day. That was the other part of it.
So it was super easy to carry when one of your classes is choir and like 3 classes worth of notebooks around at any given time. Like,
yeah, I was the same way. I always had at least 2 classes a semester that were the arts. Yep. So I didn't have a textbook at all. So I just carried all my shit around.
One thing. Getting back to the television show, yes. I did want to point out Lucas's hair from the Haley scene to the Brooke scene is a full like 2 inches longer. Like,
yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. His hair gets progressively worse as season 3 goes on.
Brody showed me the season DVD cover for season 3 yesterday. His hair is wild in that picture. Holy fuck. It's so long. It's like Chris Keller stupid.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's I'm ready for it. Yeah. I'm ready for some stupid Lucas hair. Yeah. This season. Yeah.
Speaking of, I just have to say for the locker thing, I can't relate to any of that because I had everything in my locker. We went to our lockers between every single class. Every class had like their own hallway. That's that where their lockers were. That's where you congregated before school. That's where you congregated after school. Like lockers were a huge thing because they were the central hub of everything. And we didn't have locks on them either because if you were sick that day, the secretary would actually go, if your parents wanted to pick up your homework so you didn't get behind, she would go in your locker, get your textbooks out and have your notebooks and give them to your parents so you could do your homework the day you were sick so you wouldn't get behind.
Oh, I hate that.
Small
town school for you there. Everyone knew where everyone's locker was. Everyone, you know, literally I would open up my friend's lockers and take crap out of there because she would have like candy and stuff. It's nobody cared. There were no locks, no privacy, no nothing. Wild. It was just where you.
Well, when there's 12 of you, stuff. It's not really hard to do.
There were 42. Thank you. 42, not 12. Thank you very much. Anyway. Moving on now. So then we cut to Brooke and Haley discussing the fact that Haley realized when you miss half a year of junior year, you're going to be behind. So she's actually behind for the first time ever. And So she's lamenting about that. And then Peyton shows up and is just still a complete bitch to her. So Haley's like, great, great. But Peyton's not as much of a bitch as some of these bitchy girls at school are. And that's what I'm just going to call them, the little bitchy girls, because that's all they are. They start pointing and laughing at her as Haley walks by. And it's like, okay, great. We have some of those this episode.
Great.
Lovely. Then we have an update on Mouth.
Mouth is doing the most this episode.
It's the best. But here's the big news, kids. Mouth also now has a podcast.
Minkus has a podcast.
Minkus had to explain what a podcast is to Nathan.
Yep, because back in 2005.
Your iPod.
Because in 2005, podcasts were a brand new thing. Oh, yes. So Mouth goes to interview Nathan for said podcast. And Mouth is still dealing with the loss of Erica. Because, you know, yeah, she broke his heart.
He's not dealing with it well either.
He's not dealing with it well at all.
At all.
No. You don't know who else isn't dealing with things well at all, which is not surprising at all. Dan Scott.
Fuck this man forever and always. Oh my God.
Yeah. So Dan goes to visit Whitey to give him an update on the school board agenda that evening, which he put it in 24-point font so Whitey could read it without his glasses. And it says, replace Whitey Durham as head coach. And Whitey responds with the best comebacks ever, which is just him flicking on a lighter and making Danny real, real nervous as he goes, "What's the matter, Danny? I'm just lighting a candle. It's good for the feng shui.
It's good for the feng shui."
I love Whitey. Mostly, Whitey. I think one of the things I love the most about Whitey is how much he hates Dan.
Yep.
Like, because he's, yeah. I mean, there's most of the people in this TV show hate Dan, but just the way Whitey hates Dan is just.
Well, let's not forget, Whitey has known Dan the longest out of anybody.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Karen knows him, has known him as long, but, you know, and Keith, I should say, sorry, Keith knows Dan the longest.
Yeah.
But then it's like Whitey and Karen.
He had to.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, White, out of all the characters that are still around, Whitey's known him the longest, so he has the most to hate.
Just
really.
Whitey is perfect.
I just want everything
about the scene had me cackling. Cackling. Mm-hmm. From him polishing his trophy, seeing Dan in the reflection and saying, "God damn it, I wish I would have gone blind," to that fucking Zippo lighter, like, "What's wrong, Danny?"
I thought fire was Satan's friend.
Right.
Yeah.
I want my text tone to now be just Whitey saying feng shui.
Yep.
Because it's my favorite thing ever. I love it. Yeah. So then we cut over to Ellie, who actually comes over to the cafe and asks for Lucas's help. She admits to him that, yes, she was buying drugs, but they were for medical reasons.
They're my cancer drugs.
She has cancer, and the marijuana helps with the nausea. And she tells him that she came back to see if Peyton is okay and if she will be okay. And she wants to get to know her on Peyton's own terms, not to guilt her into getting to know her because she's sick. And she asks Lewis to tell Peyton that he just made a mistake. He didn't actually see her buy drugs. It's fine. So that way then maybe they can get to know each other without, you know, cancer getting in the way. Sure.
Yeah, that'll work.
Sure. That'll work. It's going to work so well. Yeah. Then
and I honestly did not believe that. I did not believe her at first. It took me a minute to be like, okay, maybe she does. She is sick. Because I'm like, yeah, heroin addict will lie about anything.
So. Yeah, but see, she wasn't buying heroin. She was buying marijuana.
We didn't know that.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Then we get Dan coming to the river court where Lucas is, and he taunts Lucas a lot. And he tells him that he knows that he saw Lucas at the dealership the night of the fire. And things kind of get a little tense until the river
court. What the fuck is this basketball throwing it at each other's chest thing?
I don't know.
That's not intimidating.
No.
They try to
seem intimidating. Basketball prodigies can throw a basketball.
Right.
I'm so happy for you. This is not intimidating at all.
Yeah. But then Dan leaves as soon as the River Court guys show up and he just skedaddles on. Great.
Did Dan Scott murder a dog? I know.
No. He's calling Lucas a dog.
Fully in the realm of possibility, though, right?
Oh, I mean,
that Dan Scott murdered a dog.
Wouldn't be surprised.
No, me either. No.
But it.
No.
It was a metaphor.
It's a metaphor. I get it. But
yes.
For a minute, I'm like, is this supposed to be what I took from this scene? Is that Dan Scott is an animal murderer? Because.
Wow. Okay.
Anyway, startup.
Moving on. Yeah. So then we go back to school and Peyton calls Nathan out hardcore for trying to avoid Haley because he's on the opposite side of campus right now where he should be. And then Haley is whining to Brooke about the fact that she's only going to her locker once a day. She's going to need a real good chiropractor because she's packing around all her books and notebooks and stuff. And Brooke then tells her that they need to find some money for their rent because Brooke may or may not have spent all the money her parents gave her on her back to school wardrobe, which then goes into a tirade of Brooke going, "I can't show up naked to school, although that would do really well for my reelection campaign."
Brooke. Oh, yeah. Brooke.
And then Haley asks her if she talked to Peyton, Because she doesn't get why Peyton's still super mad at her. It's not like she put her up for adoption right as they run into Peyton and Nathan.
Ooh. Open mouth, insert foot.
And the only thing that gets worse is then mouth shows up and tries to, like, I don't know, do a play-by-play or get an interview. I don't know what it's, what he's trying to accomplish, but he says some lines about how Erica ripped his heart out again, and then everyone just scatters.
Wanted to complain about Erica.
Right? Yep. Yeah.
He just wanted a reason to complain about Erica. Yeah. That's all. Cool. He was like, ooh, this looks like a good opportunity.
Oh, right? All of my friends are here. Time to...
Let me remind them that I'm sulking.
Yep. Right? Let me remind them how bad I'm hurt.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Then... After that, Haley goes to visit Whitey in his office to ask him to talk to Nathan. And Whitey tells her, in no uncertain terms, he's a basketball coach, not Dr. Phil.
Not and before he calls her Avril, though.
Oh, Avril Lavigne. Yep, he calls her Avril Lavigne. Yep, yep. And he says, I should actually be happy that my star player's focusing on the game. And he sends her on her way, but not without giving her a detention slip. And she says, why? Last time I saw, this was a boys' locker room, Missy. Yeah.
Whitey's got something up his sleeve.
Yeah.
I love him. Like, just how invested he is in this relationship.
Yeah. Right?
Like between, like, I think it was one of the episodes that just came out that we released, but, like, between... the scene with Nathan and Whitey at the liquor store when he's like, you don't give up. By the way, he's under 21.
Yep.
Like this. Like, Whitey's very invested in these two 17-year-olds making it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As is the rest of us.
As is the rest of us. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So then we get a quick scene with Karen and Larry at the cafe. And they have a really nice conversation. They talk about Ellie, and Larry wonders if it was a good idea for him to keep Ellie away. And he tells Karen that he does feel bad about all the time that he spent out to sea to try to keep a roof over their heads. And Peyton's dealing with adolescence all by herself.
Yeah.
So at least they're acknowledging the fact that he's, you know, not around at all, hardly at all. He's absent. Been more in these last three episodes than he was the last two seasons combined. So, yeah.
It was nice to have a conversation between Karen, parentheses, everybody's mom, and Larry, like, just to remind us that, oh, they know each other. They're friendly. Mm-hmm. And Karen is the one who can definitely update Larry on everything that's been going on while he's been out of town. So,
yep. Let's not forget they drunkenly dug up a time capsule in the middle of the football field.
They did. They got scolded by Whitey they were in their 30s.
They did.
And who besides Dan Scott can say that?
Wow. Yeah. So then, speaking of Whitey, Whitey's just being the grade A meddler that he is, because he also gave
Nathan detention. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know what just hit me?
What?
Like, literally just now, is Karen and Larry have probably been, like, friendly / acquaintances since well before their children were born. Mm-hmm. And here's why I say that. Because I just realized when they were digging up the time capsule, they weren't just digging up the time capsule for Karen's stuff. They were digging it up for Larry's, which means they're the same age and were in school together at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Like, I don't know why that just, like, computed now and, like, they didn't just meet because their kids were friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's nice to think about, like, oh, Karen had another friend besides Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's nice. Anyway, carry on.
This town. That's right.
Yes.
Small-ass town.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So anyway, Whitey's meddling again. And he also gave Nathan detention, which is hilarious. And Nathan even says, what, are we the only two people that got detention? And some kid shows up with detention, and Whitey goes, nope, you're pardoned. Go, get out of here. Go, and shuts the door. And he tells them that talking is going to be allowed for this detention because, you know, they may have a lot to talk about.
Got a lot of catching up to do.
Mm-hmm. We immediately cut to the next day of school. And we find out detention did not go so well because all that Nathan did was look at Haley once when her stomach growled, and that's it. Then Haley's day gets worse because as she's walking away, a bunch of bitchy girls again goad Haley and call her Kelly Clarkson, which I don't see that as an insult, but okay, sure, fine,
whatever. I was gonna say, listen, see, I don't take that as an insult.
No, I'd be like, why? No. Thank you. Why? Thank you. Yes.
I also just like, it's so wild to me that these girls are making fun of her because she went on tour. Like, how fucking like stupid and uncool do you have to be to like think that it's stupid and uncool that your classmate went on tour?
Oh, I think they're jealous. I think they're more jealous and pissed off than anything else.
I guess it's still annoying anyway.
Yeah, I know. No, they're meant to be annoying. That's the whole point of them. Cause literally then Haley like says, what did you say to me? And then the girl actually gets up and just pushes Haley, like just full on, like a bad written bully is all this girl is.
Yeah.
And pushes her around.
Haley was ready to throw hands.
She was. Oh, she was.
Yeah. The way she went to 0 from 100 was like,
yep. And then back to 0 again as soon as Whitey comes in and breaks it up and doesn't give the psycho girl detention, but gives Haley detention and then detention again because she talked back and then detention for a third time because she called him Whitey. I'm like, what else is she supposed to call you there? Mr. Durham?
Coach?
Coach Durham? Like what? What?
Yeah.
And turns out Nathan also got detention again. So what? While they're in detention.
What a crazy, crazy wild happenstance.
Right. And this detention goes just slightly better because Nathan actually talks to Haley to confirm with her if she actually did knock out that girl's front tooth like everyone said she did at school. And they talk about how tough high school is and how people can be super mean. And they almost have like a conversation until Nathan stops it and says he needs to get back to studying because he doesn't have a tutor anymore.
You could have one if you wanted one.
The subtle Scott Brothers dig. They're really good at that.
They are.
All four of them.
They are half.
Dan, Keith, Lucas, and Nathan. All four of them are really good at the subtle Scott dig.
Yep. Yeah, so then Nathan gets home from detention, and he finds Dan playing basketball in the driveway. And Nathan calls him out on being a loser because, you know, Deb kicked him out of the house. And Dan says, well, yeah, whatever, but you're not going to have to worry about things for much longer because I'm going before the school board to get rid of Whitey, so you'll have a real coach this year for your last year in high school.
Like Jeez, who, Dan?
Right? Like you, Dan? We know how well that went last time. Yeah. So then we go to Lucas, who comes over to Peyton's house, and we actually get like a trajectory of him just not showing up in her room. It's at the front door. She answers the front door. Uh-huh. They walk through the house. They go up the stairs while Lucas is saying that he may have been mistaken about the drugs and maybe she should give Ellie a chance. That's flying a little bit until they open the door to Peyton's room and they find Larry and Ellie both in Peyton's room going through her drawings and all of her stuff. And Peyton freaks the F out.
Yeah.
As she should. This strange woman is going through her shit. Her dad is letting her. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
That's a complete invasion of privacy, whether you're a 17-year-old or not. Like, I'd freak out. At
31. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So no, then
Peyton does. She has a very curated world in her bedroom. Mm-hmm. Like we've talked about before, she is alone in this big giant house, but we only ever see her in her bedroom. That is literally her world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just wild that Larry would do that. Like truly wild that he would do that. Doesn't matter what his motives were, just like why not Dennis Quaid? What are you doing? Come on.
Yeah. So then we cut over to Brooke and Haley, and Brooke tells her that their money problems are over because now Brooke has a job at the mall at the store called Suburban Filth. Great.
Okay.
She also then introduces the scrunchie system to Haley. Because, you know, they're sharing a bedroom and they would need privacy sometimes, which really just bums Haley out entirely. And, you know, because she says, I won't probably need the scrunchie system for a while, Brooke. And Brooke tells her, you know, Nathan just needs to know that she's going to be here for the long haul. And she says that people play hard to get because they need to know that the other person's feelings are real. And we all know that Brooke is no longer talking about Nathan. She's talking about her and Lucas. It's fine.
Yep.
It's fine. Well, it's fine.
Also, if you were a teenage clothes person, someone who enjoys clothes, working at a clothing store is not the way to make money. Brooke Davis.
Nope.
You will not have rent money. Sorry. That discount is...
Right.
Going to be too much for your self-control, my love.
Yeah. Then we get to Nathan, who comes to the cafe looking for Lucas. And instead, of course, Karen is there. And they chat for just a little bit. And she reminds him of the day at the River Court when he told her that he would do anything to have Haley home. And she said to have faith. And now that Haley's here, what's he going to do about it? And he says, Haley's back, but I'm not sure if the guy who said that is back.
Mm. Poor baby.
I know. And then he does tell Karen that she should probably go to the school board meeting tonight because Dan's trying to get rid of Whitey. Great. Great.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Then we get a scene between Larry and Peyton. They are at the intersection where her mom was hit.
Dark.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Real dark.
Yep. And Larry admits that he was wrong to invite Ellie into her room, but she needs to know that Ellie and Lucas had nothing to do with it. If she's going to be mad at anybody, she can be mad at him, not Lucas or Ellie. And they talk for a bit, and Larry suggests maybe they find Peyton a therapist to talk to about
that
things.
That would be great.
Great idea. Right?
Parental thing any of these adults have said in three seasons.
Right? Right? Yeah. Then we cut to the evening of the school board meeting, and Mouth is again providing color commentary with a tinge of heartbreak about Erica again.
Just a tinge.
Just a tinge.
Oh, small tinge.
Small gallons worth a tinge. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. And Lucas tries to give Mouth some advice about letting go of Erica. And Mouth says he's not as lucky as Lucas. He can't just find another girl to mend his broken heart. Plus, all that he wants is to have Erica back.
Why?
Because she's his first girlfriend.
The first girl that was ever nice to him in a non-platonic way.
Uh-huh. This is true.
She's the first girl who ever sucked his face.
I thought you were going somewhere else with
nope.
that. And I'm like, Brody.
No.
You're welcome.
Sweet,
no.
innocent
no.
Minkus you're talking
no.
about.
No, no, no. No, 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 no. Yeah. So then we go into the school board meeting. And Dan is making a very convincing and funny and, you know, convincing speech, really, about how we should get rid of Whitey as head coach.
Is it all that convincing, though? Because nobody on that school board looks like they're buying it.
But people were laughing and they were like trying to say that, like, you know, oh, see, it's Dan. He's very convincing and he's very, you know, authoritative in how he speaks. And people listen to what he has to say is what
yeah,
I got from that. You know,
true.
that's what that was. And mm-hmm. then he finishes and he's very happy with his job. Well done. Until Karen says that she would like to speak on behalf of Whitey. And Dan says, I object. Like it's some court of law. And Mayor Mullins is having none of it. And says,
Mayor Mullins basically says, get fucked.
Right? He really does. He really does.
That's Mullins not how just, this shit works, Danny.
Right? Sit down. He's like, sit down. Let her speak. She's going to speak. And then Karen makes a very impassioned speech for Whitey and praises Whitey for teaching their kids more than just basketball. He's teaching them about life and things like that. And that's more important than the X's and O's. And it's going to serve them long after the game is done and over with.
Mm. Yeah. I forgot that she speech. Makes that speech and like how good it is.
Mm-hmm. It's a great speech.
If this were a sports movie, the entire auditorium would have given her slow claps.
Mm-hmm.
Like as she walks
instead
out.
Of the random adult extras looking at each other and nodding and smiling.
Mm-hmm. Those yeah. very old people who the show was trying to convince us were parents.
Right. Exactly. I'm like, wait, are you the grandparents?
Right. Whitey's parents? Like, but,
yeah. 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 So then we go back outside of the meeting, and Lucas tries to talk to Nathan and tells him, so you do actually care about something other than yourself. You know, speaking about Whitey, and Nathan literally says, nope, it's just about basketball. Whitey gets me touches, which is going to get me to scouts, which is going to get me, you know, far. Great. Mm-hmm. And then Peyton shows up and apologizes to Lucas right then and there and says, I know you had nothing to do with it. I'm really sorry. And just then Whitey comes out and he says, bad news, gentlemen, you're stuck with me another year.
Yes.
Jesse, did you have any worry about Mr. Whitey Durham's tenure as head coach of the Tree Hill Ravens?
Not when he came out and said bad news, boys. I'm like, oh, he's here. He's in it. She's fine. I finished that sentence for him. Right? I am so deep inside Whitey's head. I'm like, yes, bad news. You're stuck with me for another season. Yes.
Yes. Then we, after all that stuff, Lucas and Peyton walk into the gym to talk, and Peyton's like, and Lucas is like, why did you think I wanted to talk? And Peyton says, well, it was either to talk, make out, or kill me. And I know where you're not going to make out with me. So it's either talk or die.
And how close she was.
Lucas admits that Ellie was buying marijuana, but it's because she has cancer and he actually believes her. And Peyton says some kind of rebuttal and then also mentions a secret between Lucas and Dan. Dan pops up out of fucking nowhere and
happens to fucking be there like the goddamn devil. Like,
boogie.
Yeah, like the jump scare bastard that he is. And he confronts them and literally starts to choke Lucas out and shoved Peyton hard onto the ground by the head.
But not before basically telling her she has no family, so she doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And as he's choking Lucas hard, like the boy is...
Just a wild sentence.
I mean, yeah. He's trying to kill him. And Peyton screams at him that, no, Lucas didn't try to kill you in the fire, you dumbass. He saved your life. And then we see a flashback of Lucas coming onto the dealership, seeing it on fire, going in there, putting Dan out since he was on fire, and then drags him out of the burning dealership before it explodes.
Yeah. What? Ugh.
Dan. And Dan lets go of Lucas because he realizes, oh my God, that is what happened, and says, this is going to be our little secret, and walks off.
Hmm. Dumbass.
Great.
Oh my God.
And Peyton's apologizing and saying, I'm sorry, but he was, you know, I had to tell him. And she asks Lucas if he's okay. And Lucas replies, that's my father. What do you think?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. And
that was rough. I'm not.
That's heavy.
It was a lot. That was a lot of. Dan is one of those characters where I'm like, okay, I know what this TV villain is.
Mm-hmm.
And then this episode, I went, oh, no.
He cranks it to 11.
Mm-hmm.
He was already, I thought he was at 11.
No, honey.
But no, he cranks up to 11 this season.
Yep. That's the thing too, that Dan, and you'll see with it. I mean, he just, it just keeps going and going and going. And that's been his trajectory this whole season. We just didn't realize it until this point that you're like, oh wait, he would go this far. Okay. Nope. He's going this far. It's fine.
Right. Because, yeah.
I mean, you thought hiring a poor woman to wreck his brother's life would be as worse as it got, right? No.
I truly did.
Yeah, until he started choking out and trying to kill his own son. It's fine.
Fucking son.
But if I do remember correctly, Jesse, you were right in your assumption.
Oh, I was, yes. I got
you
that.
You did not think Lucas tried to set fire to the dealership at all. No. Good job. Good job.
Thanks.
So then we cut over to Nathan after everything, and he's going through some stuff in his room, and he finds a little glass heart jar with sand in it from his and Haley's wedding day. And he has a little reminiscing about their wedding, and it's very sweet until Dan interrupts. Oh. And Nathan just, in no uncertain terms, just tells him to move on, Dad. It's over. It's over. Mm-hmm. And Dan says, you can't blame a guy for trying. Great. Whatever. Go away, Dan. Then we go back to Lucas, who comes over to Brooke and Haley's place now. And he first lies to Haley about why his shirt is all ripped and messed up. He's like, yeah, pickup game got a little rough. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. But Haley's going through her predictions, and she thinks she may have been a better person before she left. And Lucas disagrees with her and says, you've always been a great person, and it's not a list of who you are, but who you want to be. And Haley's like, fine, then I'm going to predict everything opposite of what I think is going to happen, because life has a way of surprising her. Like how life is surprising her now when Nathan is the person showing up at the door, not the pizza guy that Brooke ordered the pizza from. And he asks to talk to Haley, so they go for a walk. And Nathan tells her he's still trying to figure everything out, and he still has the annulment papers. But if they go through with those, that would mean the marriage never happened. And he had some great times with her, and he doesn't want to pretend that that didn't happen. So we're like, oh, yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. Until he says, so I looked into a divorce.
Nathan.
And the state says they have to be separated for a year before they can do the divorce. And he says they should wait and see what happens in a year.
Ugh. I'm glad that he's counting a year as like starting from when they had the conversation and not 6 months previously when she left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I do appreciate that from him, because I think it shows that he does that. Even if he doesn't want to admit it, he doesn't think they're over.
Yeah.
Like,
he's well, because he still loves her. He's already said that he still loves her. That's not the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they have a year.
Yep. Clock starts now.
Let's see what happens, kids. So then we go back to Lucas and Brooke, and they had the pizza that Brooke ordered. Lucas had Haley share the pizza, and Brooke teases him and says, you know, well, Nathan and Haley have a lot of problems. They could be out all night, and I just hate to sleep alone. And Lucas responds that he'd love to spend the night once they're exclusive.
This is really fun.
And Brooke responds with letting him know that now that she works at Suburban Filth, she's able to take samples home, and she takes off a robe and shows some very early 2000s lingerie, like sporty lingerie, where it's very weird.
Tank tops and panties. Like,
right? It's a tank top and panties. Yeah.
I really hope those panties aren't a sample. I hope those are just hers now.
Oh, God.
I hope those aren't hers on a temporary basis.
Right? Oh, boy.
Gotta put these back on the mannequin on Monday. I'm just sampling these for the weekend.
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like the turn this took.
Yeah, we're going to swiftly move on. So she shows him that, and he says, you know, I'm good, but you're much better. And he says, game on, Brooke Davis, and leaves. He yeets himself out that door because he knows if he would have stayed, he would have gotten in trouble. It's fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then we get a very, very, oh my God, I love this scene. Then we get Mouth coming into Whitey's office for a comment on his first win of the season. Ha 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 ha. I love it. I love
it. That was cute.
And Whitey instead says, how about I give you an exclusive instead? And he tells Mouth that he will be retiring after this season, win or lose. And asks him to keep it quiet till after their first game.
Ugh.
Then Mouth goes to leave and then asks Whitey if he can ask him a question off the record. And he asks him, how do you deal with losing someone you love? And Whitey tells him, shut the door, son, and pull up a chair.
And in my brain, Whitey poured Minkus a glass of scotch, and they were really just gonna hash it out. I'm like, shut the door, kid. We got some underage drinking to do
here. Scene obviously is him pouring the scotch for Minkus, Minkus taking half a sip and going, I think I'm okay.
Yeah, that.
Right? Yes, absolutely. Oh, God, I love it. I love it. I love it. Then we get our montage at the end of the episode. It starts with Lucas writing his prediction. And if you paused and read it, it says, I will try again with, doesn't say who. Haley's prediction that she writes is that her and Nathan will be together again. And Peyton, we go to Peyton in a room, and she is definitely talking to someone. To a microphone, because she's now making her own podcast and gonna talk about all her feelings on a podcast and send it out to everybody.
Great. Can't relate.
Great. Right. So now two people in Tree Hill have a podcast. It's fine. Then Brooke is in her room and she's writing a letter to Lucas, but she doesn't send it. She instead pulls out a big box with tons of other letters addressed to Lucas and sticks it in with those.
Got big to all the boys I loved before energy. Like, it was very sweet. I loved that.
Big to all the boys I love energy before To All the Boys came out.
Exactly.
Yep.
Like, we know
Brooke Davis did it first.
Brooke Davis did it better, if we're being honest. Like,
yeah.
That's a lot of letters.
Then we get a really creepy scene a little bit where Dan seems to be getting pulled over by a cop, but instead the cop comes to his window and hands him an envelope. We don't know what it is, but we know something shady's going down.
Yep.
It's fine. And then the next day at school, Haley goes through the doors to the main hallway and sees all the bitchy girls waiting for her, and they're starting to point and laugh at her. And Nathan comes up behind her and tells her that they're going to be late for class if they don't hurry up. And he walks with her down the hall and at the very end puts his arm gently behind her back as they walk down the hallway.
Oh.
And the episode ends.
No.
Yeah, so that was the episode, kids. What did we think?
There was a lot going on this episode in terms of, like, just it didn't move a whole lot forward for most people.
No, but
like,
what it
the only person
was...
who really like a resolved something like got resolved that that was already like alluded. I know we're on episode 3, but just in general, like. We've ruled Lucas out as the suspect for the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which, yeah. I mean, obviously, we as viewers assumed that Lucas was not the culprit.
Yeah.
But now Dan knows.
Yes. I think what it's doing is what this show does really well is it's setting up a lot more for the rest of the season. We're getting so much more between Nathan and Haley about where they are. We're getting that tease of Brooke with those letters. So, and the fact that Brooke maybe wants something more serious with Lucas than what she's letting on. We're getting Peyton still dealing with the fact that Ellie is here and dealing with that and the fact that her parents lied to her, all that kind of stuff. And just kind of all that mixed into one is a good third episode in. You know, the first two episodes really were, oh, welcome back. Here's what you missed. This is what's going to be happening. Have fun, kids. See, the episode 3 really kind of sets up a slow preface of what is to come in the season, I think, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
Plus we get some fun, like Whitey and, you know, Dan trying to kill Lucas. It's fine.
Yeah. Just fun, lighthearted shit.
Like, fun, lighthearted shit of a father choking out a son. It's fine.
Just some.
What the fuck was that? My favorite kind of lighthearted fun is
right?
being choked out.
Casual son murder.
Right, it's fine.
Yeah. No, I was really hoping that was Peyton in a therapy chair. And I'm like, yes, therapy.
And
do
then you
it.
Pan out, it's just her with the microphone recording a podcast.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be a podcast because I just saw her laying there with her microphone before they panned to her computer. I'm like, oh God, is she talking to the webcam now? Like, is that what's happening?
So, fun fact, I don't know if you remember this, Brody, but they actually, like, released the Peyton podcast episodes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. It was because, like Brody said, like, podcasts were obviously, you know, very new in 2005, 2006, whatever.
Yeah.
So it was, like, this new novel thing, and I'm guessing as part of their, like, sponsorship deal to get money, they probably were asked to promote Apple's new service.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, that would make... Does this count as a product placement, then?
Is it Apple Podcasts?
I would say yes, but also, we didn't mention...
Considering that Mouth specifically was, like, you record it and people can listen to it on their iPod... Uh-huh. Like, not MP3 player, iPod.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Does that mean me with my Zune in 2006 could not listen to this podcast?
No. No, you couldn't, Jesse, with your Zune.
I loved my Zune. Do not take that tone of voice. She was brick and indestructible, and I loved her so much.
So was my iPod that could carry a billion songs.
Yeah.
It was fine. Also,
I'll fight you
we did
on this.
Miss. We
I
did
will
miss.
Fight you on this.
Moving on very swiftly. Don't have time for it. We missed a product placement with Sunkist because there was one whenever they were finishing the pizza. There were Sunkists on the table with the half-eaten pizza when Lucas and Brooke finished dinner.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even see it. I saw the one in the next episode, but...
Yes.
I did not catch this one.
I'm still not tuned in enough. I'm not attuned to the sun kiss yet. So.
Oh, trust me. You will.
I'm sure I'll get there.
It's
but...
fine. Yeah. I don't know. I liked this episode. Like I said, it's a good setting up point for what the rest of the season's going to be, but in a very subtle way. It's not beating us over the head with it like they sometimes do. It's a lot more subtle with what it's doing. And I kind of like the nuance that's happening with it. So,
yeah. No, I did like it. I did like this episode, but
yeah, ooh, I mean, there's a lot of fun moments. There's also a lot of like dramatic moments, which makes the funny moments even more fun and why we like this show so much. It plays on both sides of that so well.
I think I liked it because there's so much Whitey. I would watch a show where he is the main character. Like,
right.
Please.
Yeah. So anything else we want to add, kids, before we wrap this up?
I don't have anything.
Perfect. Nope. Well, then that's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you so much for listening. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. It is greatly appreciated. And follow us on social media. We are everywhere at On Wednesdays Pod. Hit us up in the DMs on Instagram where they're most often if you have any questions or comments or concerns. And yeah, we will see you guys next week for another episode of On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.